Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. And we're all hyped up on Indian food right now.
Yes, sir.
So there's going to be a couple commercial breaks here.
Nathan, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news.
So much news.
Is there?
There's a good amount, I would say.
Okay. Nathan.
Yeah.
The time has finally come.
For what?
The moment we've all been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the Nomnibus.
The Nomnibus?
The Nomnibus.
What does that mean?
It's a collection of the original Chew all in one omnibus,
all
Nathan.
In one?
Yeah, 60 issues, baby.
Dude, that's got to be huge.
Coming February 19th to a store near you.
Oh, my God.
$65.
That's really good.
It's a fantastic deal.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to get that.
I can't wait. Do you want me to order you one?
Dude, I think so.
I'll be like, I'll take two, please.
Because, I have all the trades up on my bookshelf except for the last trade.
Because you got the issues.
Yeah, because I wanted to catch up and then I got like the last five issues as they came out.
But I've been collecting like the omnivores.
Yeah. And then they have like a couple other collections that are like half of it, don't they?
Maybe.
Those are the omnivore.
Yeah, those are like 10.
Oh, really?
Each, yeah. Oh, it's okay. it's like the deluxe kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. They have a couple editions. So that's cool. All of it in one. Does it include Poyo?
I don't think so.
That's tough. Well, I still haven't read the last Poyo.
I can double check it, but...
Yeah, because with that, there's a character named Special Agent Poyo, and he was like a chicken who was a federal agent, and he had like three spinoffs, and I haven't read the third one because I don't want it to be over yet, but I have it downloaded. I've had it downloaded for years.
The Smorgasbord edition is what you're talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah, I was fucking stoked to see that.
That's really cool news. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. Daniel, are you familiar with the term legacy characters?
Yeah.
And how there's like, you know, Sam Wilson, Captain America. It's like a different Captain, or like Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
We got a new one, Daniel. Everyone's been asking for it. Kid Juggernaut.
Oh, dude, fuck yeah.
It's a new one-shot called Kid Juggernaut coming April 2025. It's going to be, hold on, who writes it? By writer Emily Kim and artist Mingyu Zheng and Peter Nguyen in print for the first time. And this is what, I don't even know who Kid Juggernaut is in this cover. There's Juggernaut and...
Yeah, which one's him?
I don't know, but they look exactly the same, and I'm really excited about it.
Hell yeah.
Also, the lettering for like the title, it's like they just fit Kid in where like Juggernaut
is. Oh, just in the J?
Yeah, just in the J of Juggernaut.
They're hoping people get confused and like, this is a kid.
His name is Justin Jin. And just before his mysterious death, Justin's father sent a package to his estranged son containing a fragment of a crimson gem, the gem of Sidorak. And I don't know, that's how he gets his powers, I guess. But
well, that's how normal Juggernaut gets his powers, right? His name is Justin Jin the Juggernaut.
Justin Jin the Juggernaut, JJJ. Wow. No other JJJs in the Marvel Universe, thankfully.
Do they know that there's other letters in the alphabet?
I don't know. What's Juggernaut's name normally?
I don't know.
Is it also J's?
Probably not.
Yeah. So, yeah. I thought that was funny.
That is funny. Kane Marco is this Juggernaut's name. So, no alliteration.
Yeah, no alliteration there. I guess they needed alliteration to get Kid Juggernaut.
Nathan.
Yeah.
You know of the Reckless books.
Mm-hmm.
By Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips.
Of course.
They're going to be adapted into films.
Films?
Yep. I told you they were good. You didn't believe me.
That doesn't necessarily mean that they're good, though.
And to star as Mr. Reckless himself.
Oh, John Reckless?
Yeah, John Reckless.
Isn't that his actual name?
It's something reckless. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on. We were close.
What is it?
Ethan Reckless. But to play Ethan Reckless will be Sebastian Stan, Nathan.
Whoa.
Hell yeah.
That's
These are going to fucking rule.
That's great news. They're saying all of them are going to be movies?
The first one's getting made, Nathan.
First one's getting made. That's cool. Those are like, that's like comics about making movies, right?
Something like that? No, it's like kind of like a neo-Western kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like a modern day kind of pulp thing.
Gotcha.
You know. All the thing that they do normally.
How much is that whole series, like in its entirety? Is that all of it over there? Like there's five.
Except for the covers. One that I've read. But I think there's five total.
So it's like probably 40, 50 issues-ish?
Or it's just a graphic novel, so it's not broken up.
Okay, gotcha.
So about like 120 pages, something like that.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Good for them. Criminal comes out pretty soon too, right?
I think this year, yeah.
I think it's in like 2 or 3 months, so.
I'll look it up.
But while you look that up, Daniel, you know we love a comic book that comes out and it has a long name.
Oh, God.
This one is maybe the longest name that we'll have of the year. Okay. It comes from Dark Horse. It is Stranger Things and Dungeons and Dragons, : The Rise of Hellfire. So that's going to be a Stranger Things, Dungeons and Dragons crossover written by Jody Hauser and Eric Campbell. So that should be fun. I don't know when that comes out. I think it's in April.
Who's writing that? Sorry.
Jody Hauser and Eric Campbell.
Oh.
So yeah, super long name.
It's just saying 2025. So until we get a trailer, we won't really know. We got a Daredevil trailer, Nathan.
We did get a Daredevil trailer.
Is it different than the last one?
I don't know.
It seems the same.
It's funny because we finished it. Me and Sophie just finished the show yesterday, and I looked up the trailer for Born Again Again. And I saw that trailer. So like I just happened to look up.
So God was thanking you for.
Yeah, it was like, okay, now we can release the trailer.
Good job.
But I thought that was a teaser that I saw before, but it was like the trailer that I saw. Yeah. So it was basically the same. But there's a lot going on there. Yeah, they got fucking Kingpin, you know, Bullseye's back. We got Punisher's in there. And then there's like a couple new ones. There's like Muse.
White Tiger.
I thought he was for a second, I thought he was that guy from X-Force with like the white shit on.
X-Force with the white shit on.
Yeah, he was. I think he was in the X-Force that we read, but he's like an assassin dude that wears like white cloak or something. I can't remember what his name was, but yeah, it's White Tiger. And then there's like other people. It's crazy. So hopefully they're not doing too much all at once. But I do like Muse. He was created by Charles Soule, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of his run.
Yeah.
But I think it looks good. I'm interested to see like the status of everything.
I was hoping that we would read Charles Soule's run for that. But Muse doesn't pop up until like the third trade.
I think it would be fine to jump in there because the first trade of his run is right after Secret Wars, so he's doing random team ups with old Captain America and shit like that. Okay, I got a couple more things. Diamond Comic Distributors filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Ooh, shit.
Which is crazy. So they're going to be selling off parts of their business to some Warner Bros. Distribution game company. But they're not Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which is where like they're just getting stripped for parts and sold everywhere. So they're going to be kind of operating as normal for a little bit. I don't really know how bankruptcy works. But that happened, and that's crazy.
They're trying to keep going and just
keep going, but then just like not pay off their debts to whatever creditors they got money from. So
yeah,
so probably going downhill from there for a little bit.
I heard that they like shut down like a factory or something.
Yeah,
or a distribution center.
That would make sense. There's an Assassin's Creed Mirage comic book coming out from Dark Horse. I think that's the new game that's coming out.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But this comic's going to be written by Michael Avon Oeming, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, we like him. And it's going to be with art by Mirko Kolak and colors by Lauren Aff. Not familiar with them, but it's going to be a 3-issue series, so nothing too big. If you like those games, you might like those books. Marvel's going to celebrate 400 issues of Wolverine in April. It's going to be like one of those big ones, which I don't care too much for, but I know that what I do care about is Dana Warren Johnson's going to write and draw a story within that. A Wolverine story.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that was pretty sweet. And then the biggest news, Daniel. Ram V is going to be doing a new DC series. Resurrection Man, Quantum Karma, coming in April. It's going to be a metaphysical fantasy adjacent science fiction story with art by Anand Arkay. And it's going to follow the Resurrection Man, a man with no memory of his past who discovers he has a unique ability to resurrect after death. Each time he comes back to life, he gains this new superpower, often tied to the circumstances of his death. So, he's coming back. Actually, the art looks pretty fucking insane. Like, here's just like a couple pages of how trippy it looks, just from the preview. So,
that's pretty cool.
It looks like it'll at least, you know, visually look pretty cool. And I like Ram V as a writer, so yeah. I think it'll be pretty sweet.
Hmm.
I'm going to check it out. That was the biggest news, Daniel. Resurrection Man. He's coming back.
Wow.
So that's all I got for news.
All righty. What did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, the 2019 version. I think there's a version before this.
Yeah.
And like,
it's not really like a version. It's just a run.
Or like the run, yeah. It's going to be by Tom Taylor, Juan Cabal, and Yildiré Cinar are the artists, with colors by Nolan Woodard mainly and Travis Lanham letter. So yeah, we're doing this because of the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man animated show coming out.
Yep.
Should be pretty fun. But this is a Spider-Man story where it's just him doing shit in New York. He's just being a nice neighborhood kid, helping people with directions and stuff, but then something happens.
A very misleading cover.
Because of the art style? Yeah.
I thought this was going to be like much wackier, but then it's like the most like proportioned like people that he's drawing, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not like, this definitely isn't my favorite Spider-Man artist. He seems like a little bit too proportioned. And so when he's posed like Spider-Man normally is, where he's kind of contorted and
he's not as rubbery ways, looking.
He looks like
he needs to stretch.
It looks like he's going to pull something. But then I think as I was going back through it and writing notes, I was like, I do kind of like this actually. It feels kind of like Sarah Pacelli, who was the person that did like Spider-Man. But yeah. I think what puts me off of any Spider-Man book is just the eyes. I think that's what gets me. And these eyes aren't as big as I want them to be. And so that kind of throws me off.
Yeah,
a bit
they're
too.
Like normal, like glasses lens.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, like you could make them out of like a sunglasses lens if you shape them a little bit. So
I thought this was pretty good because it kind of felt like Nightwing in a way, like the Tom Taylor's Nightwing. Like I think he's like just good at doing ongoing stuff.
Yeah,
in it, like every issue feels like good. You know, like not everything is like a part of an arc, but everything never feels like filler, you know?
Yeah. And I think he's always really good at letting the characters breathe a little bit and showing who they really are, like kind of at their core, which for Spider-Man is...
He's a murderer.
Yeah. There's a big twist. He's a murderer. But in this, he's like really knowledgeable about like the streets of New York or like where people should go to get like a good hot dog or whatever. Like he really feels like he's grown up in New York, which I appreciate.
Right.
And he knows everybody. So I like that aspect of this and how like connected he is within some of the superhero community and stuff. So it's pretty fun. It's not anything like, you know, people's lives are like at stake necessarily, but there's still some weird story going on. I don't know. It's good though.
I felt like it could have been more Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, you know? Like it more Friendly Neighborhood, and it gets like past that pretty quickly, it feels like.
Yeah.
And then it kind of reels itself back in.
Yeah, it comes back.
But overall, I think a good jab at like the concept, I guess. I don't know if like...
Yeah. I mean, the title makes it seem like it, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if
just him running around helping
random people. I don't know if they just needed more Spider-Man books on the stands, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, but we'll jump into it. So issue one, basically Spider-Man saves a man and his daughter from falling off of a bridge. There was like some weird construction thing that happened and they almost fell off. Peter saved him. And then Peter Parker meets his new neighbor, Leilani, who is asking for a superhero's help. And since Peter Parker knows Spider-Man, he wants to help. Peter goes to like get them food so that they could talk it out. But when he gets back, the apartment's full of men that punch Peter Parker super hard enough to like knock him out, knock him through a couple walls. And when he wakes up, he finds out that Leilani, the neighbor, left him some laundry in his house that was hiding two kids that look pretty alien. And they have orange skin and like white hair. And that's pretty much...
She left him some Oompa Loompas.
Yes, some Oompa Loompas. That's what it is. I was like, what does this remind me of? But yeah.
I think Tom Taylor writes dialogue really well. Spider-Man specifically very well.
Like just casual, just sort of conversation, or like when Spider-Man's making like a bad joke, he's good at like bad jokes, but like intentionally, you know?
Right.
Like Spider-Man level like corny jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I appreciate. And, you know. I like that when he saves those people from almost falling off the bridge in their car, they like try to pay him and he was like, I don't really take tips, but there's like these people on the corner of this street and this street, they're homeless. They would really appreciate it. So you can pay me by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because it makes it feel like a very tight knit sort of Spider-Man. Like he's really ingrained in like this community. So I think that was pretty effective.
This book slightly ties into continuity. And at this time, it's going on during Ryan Otley's Amazing Spider-Man run.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he's got his roommate who is Boomerang or whatever.
Yeah.
And who's like a villain.
He's a villain, I guess. And Spider-Man knows that he's a villain, but.
Yeah, but Boomerang doesn't know that Spider-Man is his roommate.
I know. I read a little bit of that Ryan Otley Spider-Man run. So I don't really know how this resolved, like this whole Boomerang thing. But
yeah, I read it as long as he was on it. But then they started like going off and on with artists, a lot of fillers. So it was like super misleading.
Mm-hmm. Something about this artist is that I think sometimes he'll like do really over-exaggerated facial expressions.
Dude, the sad face is
so funny. We're looking at the same one, right?
Yeah. Like I saw that reading it panel to panel. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
And I'm like, is he making fun of her? Like, it's so over-exaggerated.
But she's like fine, you know?
Yeah, she's totally cool. But yeah, the way, like, I've never made that face.
Yeah.
Hearing sad news, you know? So he's like ironically pouting.
I don't know if you noticed this, but this artist like draws everyone's skull the same. Like, it seems like everyone's got the same size head and it's the same shape and everything.
Everyone has the same cheekbones is what I noticed.
Yeah, same jawline, cheekbones and stuff like that.
What distracts me is like panels like this where, look at how small his mouth is in this.
Yeah.
Like, I get what emotion he's trying to convey. He's like, oh, like a little jokey, like, yeah, I have some apples.
But when you're being like so proportionate and then you're doing like these little like cartoony things,
I don't know if it mixes as well, but I like how he draws a Spidey sense. I think that's one of the things that are most unique about.
That's like the best part. Yeah.
Cause it makes it look like some sort of infrared sort of, you know, aura vision thing. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And in this instance, he knows that somebody is about to punch him because of his spider sense. And he's like, I'll just take it on the chin. And then he's surprised that
it looks like a spider vision or something that he's having.
Yeah.
Did you notice his roommate's headphones?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Instead of skull candy, it's scroll candy.
Scroll candy? That's the best.
Like, I'm like, genius.
That's the best little background joke I've ever seen from Marvel.
And
that was good. Because skull candies used to be the thing.
Yeah, peak.
The middle school thing. But yeah, that was pretty much issue one. And then there's a backup story for issue one where we see Aunt May is like hiding something from Peter and he kind of catches on to it. But when Spider-Man follows May to see what's going on, he gets distracted with like Spider-Man things and helping people. But it's implied that May has cancer. And so that's pretty tough. Also, MJ is in a Spider-Man suit, but I don't think she has any powers. I think she's just wearing it.
I think it's like disguise while Spider-Man is
swinging around with her. So that's fun. They get
which is
like,
smart.
Yeah, they get some lunch and stuff, which is cute. So in this, we see that Mayor Fisk is like a thing. So it's like a part of this storyline where Fisk was mayor, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because Fisk is going to be mayor in the new Daredevil season.
Wow.
So it's a...
Yeah, I planned that.
Yeah, pretty relevant, I would say.
Yeah, I know. I know stuff.
And I like this artist a lot better.
It's the same artist.
It's not. For the backup story, it's the backup story.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's just because of the eyes. The eyes are just like a little bit different. And I think he does like a little bit more comic-y things in there, but... You know.
Yeah, I think this would be a good like main artist too, but like objectively, I think
the cover artist.
No. Like the interior artist is like the best artist as far as like just drawing things well.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah, for sure.
But I do. The other guy might be a better like comic artist, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. For like the main first issue.
The back,
he's better at.
The backup page, dude, I almost expected it to be like those like DC Snickers ads that were in comics for a while. Because it kind of looked like that, you know?
Those were everywhere.
Dude.
And it would sometimes be confusing.
I would read it as if it was part of the book.
And I'd be like, why is the Flash fighting Doomsday or whatever?
When the fuck did Aquaman get here?
Yeah. Why is the Flash running in?
Yeah.
Those were good ads. I'll say it.
Probably the coolest ad, you know.
Because they were like...
As far as ads go.
They're very intentional that they made like a comic book ad. So I appreciate that, I guess.
What kind of psycho thinks like, oh, we can really spread our message and spread our product by just forcing some pages into a comic book?
Yeah, I don't know.
That they're going to immediately
It must have been a comic book nerd. And that works for Snickers marketing. there's a huge audience here.
The only thing I like about ads is like if a book is just long, you can just like kind of skip some pages.
Yeah,
and you feel like you're close making to the end.
Yeah, it's like a new chapter page at like a regular ass book.
Yeah.
So issue two, we see that Mayor Fisk is tied to the super strong guys that kidnapped Leilani in some way. Peter finds out that the kids are children of Leilani, and he calls in the Human Torch to look after the kids while he goes to find their mother. Spider-Man fights another orange-skinned man outside the apartment who ends up getting away, but Spider-Man gives his license plate to a new detective who owes Spider-Man for saving her family in the first issue. And then Spider-Man takes that information and goes to a vacant consulate. He fights that orange man again, but he's joined by his old-ass neighbor named Marnie, who is super strong, and she calls herself the Rumor. So she's some sort of meta.
Isn't that one of the people in Umbrella Academy?
I think so.
Yeah, it's like the sister or whatever.
It's not like the most creative name.
So I like this artist a lot, but I can't stand when they color Spider-Man like this.
Yeah, it makes it seem like there's armor plates or something that are like, between the webs.
It's colored a little bit differently in between like
the webs. I don't know.
It's kind of a vibe, but I don't prefer it.
It seems like one of those color by numbers.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is a slightly different shade of red.
This is red. This is orange red.
I think I prefer if it feels like just some sort of cloth over the face, and cloth isn't as like segmented like that. So
right.
I see what you mean. But what I think this artist does do pretty well is that he plays with the medium a little bit. And so there's like this panel where he's looking through the blinds, and the actual blinds like bleed into like the gutters of the actual like page of the panel. Yeah. And so I like that. And he does like a couple really interesting like page compositions in here.
I like when Johnny Storm gets there. He's like, oh, those kids. He's like, are they mine?
Human Torch, he seems younger than normal.
Oh yeah, he seems like
and I'm 19. Like, why is he so young? He feels like he should be like 35 or something.
And then there's some points where only his head is on fire. I'm like, it's very Ghost Rider, you know.
You could cosplay Ghost Rider pretty well.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
That's funny.
I just thought that was strange.
There's a recurring joke that I like, that Spider-Man doesn't have any pockets. And so when he gets like the card from the detective, he just like puts it in his pants. The detective's like, did you just put my card in your pants? And he's like, I got no pockets. And I never thought about him not having any pockets in his suit.
Yeah. It's
and he'd probably need to like carry around a lot of things.
You have to get the ones with like zippers, like that on sweatpants and stuff, or joggers. So he could bench and nothing will fall out of his pockets. There is a debris falling from a building, and he like goes to save someone who's recording the whole thing on his phone.
He's still recording it.
He's like, innocent bystanders used to do less bystanding and more by running.
That's
and
a good
I'm
one.
Like, boom, got him.
That's a good one. Good, good Zing, Spider-Man
dad joke.
Yeah.
Something that was kind of distracting was like, whenever he's like in under like a shadow or in like a dark area, his suit just turns black and red. It's like it's black though. It's not blue. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That's something I just noticed. Probably no one else complains about it, but
I still see it as like blue, but just because it's under the shadow. I see what they're going for there.
It's almost like retro Batman, where he's supposed to be black, but the shine makes it blue. Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Do you think that was the original intention for Spider-Man suit? No, it was definitely blue and red.
Yeah, definitely like super blue.
Yeah, the Steve Ditko original one.
It's very convenient that the family that he saved in issue one just so happens to be married to like this detective. You know,
well, they were just moving in.
So now he's got like this way in to the precinct or whatever. And she can like look up anything that he wants.
I think that was fine. Just because if you're doing this long enough, you have to you eventually make connections and shit like that. And a part of the first issue is like, you're going to want to take this route next time. Like he was telling him like directions.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that they didn't know like a certain street or bridge or whatever was all fucked up. So I think it makes sense.
Sure.
Enough. But yeah, it is pretty convenient for this story. Not a whole lot of like old lady superheroes either. So I kind of appreciate.
There's one in X-Force.
And the one that we read?
No, this new one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is she cool?
She's like the best.
Okay, nice. More old lady superheroes, man.
This one later gets like this like face mask, like Winter Soldier, like face mask looking thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of strange that she doesn't have it like right now.
Yeah.
And just like certain situations she has it and she doesn't. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is that like a gator? Like, do you take it down or like.
Maybe when she gets like cold.
Yeah, when her nose is cold.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So issue 3, they go inside the building and the rumor reveals a hidden closet, which takes them to the underground city of Under York, which is pretty much an exact copy of New York, but underground a couple miles. And they go to the like Empire State Building of this area where they find Leilani. There's like a bunch of guards guarding her. They break her out. Turns out her father kidnapped her to bring her back. So they fight the guards, escape. Spider-Man takes a bullet, and then he has to carry them both up the elevator shaft that they use to get down into Under York.
While having a bullet in his hip.
And then the rumor thinks that the underground people are going to probably start a war since they stole Leilani back. And that's pretty much the issue. But
this is a good Spidey Sense panel.
That is good. I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's like very...
He was definitely like, just do whatever you want.
He was cooking here, but then I feel like it doesn't make sense when he has to crawl back up, whatever this is, because this is how they get down. And I'm like, what does the elevator look like going up? You know, because this looks like you got fucking teleported down into Under York.
I think the concept of Under York is interesting. But
I have questions
in this. I'm like, it just seems like a weird thing.
Yeah. This is a weird
put in this
for a friendly neighborhood. You know, you think it's just things around the neighborhood, not like a whole hidden society thing.
A hidden like fucking Earth or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's Godzilla Kong.
And it's like a kind of Illuminati type thing where like only like the people in power know of it, and they have like an agreement not to fuck with each other and shit like that.
They used to like collaborate, but now they don't fuck with each other at all.
Yeah.
How do they get light? Also, why is their water orange? I mean, like their whole society is kind of more orange, I guess.
They're orange.
And if it's pretty much an exact replica of New York, did 9/11 happen?
Do they have their Twin Towers?
Are the Twin Towers still there? Because
what if there's a panel where they're just like flexing?
They're like swinging through the Twin Towers to get to the Empire State. Yeah, I was just like, okay, this is interesting. Because if there's like an Empire State Building, you'd think that there'd be other inspirations for this underground city in New York.
Especially if like this has been around since like the 30s or whatever.
Yeah.
Because the thing with this like is that these like gangsters are like dressed like they're from like the roaring 20s or whatever. Yeah. Or like Al Capone.
Yeah, Al Capone gangsters, you know? For sure.
And so... And they're all kind of just like stuck in that era.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
They probably talk really cool.
Yeah.
Like old radio announcers or whatever. Like,
yeah. Get them seen.
So that was pretty much that. Issue 4. Spider-Man reaches out to Detective Sebbins for reinforcements to kind of help fight off these orange people, the Under Yorkers.
Don't go past the John Romita Sr.
Oh, yeah.
Wraparound variant.
Is that a senior? Oh, yeah. Shit, it is.
Yeah, because it's miles better than Junior.
Yeah, true.
That's how you know it's Senior.
This is cool. Wow, good for him. And Frank D'Armata as well. So, yeah, Spider-Man goes to that detective for reinforcements, but her captain denies the order because he's corrupt by Fisk. And then Leilani's father and some henchmen end up attacking the neighborhood. And so the whole neighborhood backs up Spider-Man. And then even Kingpin steps in. And this is where we find out that he has some sort of agreement with the Under Yorkers. He, like, knows who they are. And so he kind of diffuses the situation because Spider-Man kind of forces his hand. But when Peter comes home, after this is all resolved, he finds Aunt May in his room who wants to talk to him. And in the beginning of this issue, there's a flashback where we see Uncle Ben. This dude's got the bushiest eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically just Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of a sick Uncle Ben casting.
Oh my God. What if they just like shoehorn him in?
That would be awesome.
In like
in the next Spider-Man movie, it's just Eugene Levy.
Like, is that Eugene Levy? They killed Eugene Levy.
They do like a thing in, what was that movie where Kevin Spacey was like randomly in the movie? It was like 7, I think. Like nobody knew who like the killer was, and it would just end up being Kevin Spacey. And it was like, no way. But if they... Imagine that, but it's Eugene Levy as Uncle Ben. People are like, what the fuck? Yeah, I love this page.
This is neat.
So this is what I think this artist does really well. Is like anything with action and, you know, stuff like that, it feels really creative. Because he's just jumping around a bunch of different panels and we see a lot happening. He's like saving a cat, you know, during it as well.
Dude, Fucking Spider-Man got his ass out. You see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see. Well, he's trying to bend over and pick up a kitty, but he's doing it a little slutty. But I think one of my favorite lines in this book is when he's like talking to Aunt May and he realizes something that is wrong and he's like, my human sense is tingling. Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, something's not going good here.
So there could have been a big fight thing. There's kind of just him dodging some bullets.
Yeah.
But he didn't get swung on by this like super powerful. Well, he got one hit. And
you're saying we didn't see any like actual punches or anything?
Oh yeah.
And then it's just like the neighborhood is like the people who like stand out for him and get them to go away. Like,
no, don't do that.
These guys could run through these people, you know?
Also, there's like 100 guns a second ago. You'd think everybody would be cleared out right there by now. So, I mean, I like the idea that like the neighborhood's like, that guy's fighting Spider-Man. We better go help him.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think.
I'd be like, fucking Spider-Man's got it.
I'm like, yeah, he does this. We do not. So we should
leave. And then that's the arc.
Well, it's because Mayor Fisk is like, you should probably leave. We have an agreement, I know, but you should probably leave. But yeah, that is pretty much the arc. So then we go to issue 5. We get an artist change as well. Peter learns that May has
cancer. I thought this was Gary Frank at first. Like,
dude,
that
it
first
looks
page.
Very Gary Frank. I noticed that too.
I was like, let's go, dude. Or and then some.
I think he's done some Spider-Man. But
some panels were like kind of Derek Robertson too.
Yeah. So Peter learns that May has cancer. He goes out to clear his head as Spider-Man. And while he's doing that, he intervenes in a stolen car chase. But the criminal is his friend Miguel, who stole the car from his mom's abusive boyfriend. Spider-Man accidentally breaks Miguel's wrist as he's holding him. He's kind of distracted. And so he brings Miguel to Doctor Strange to help. Doctor Strange helps the boy, but he also said that he can't help with May. Peter then later goes to chemotherapy with Aunt May to give her company. And it's very nice.
Well, that was cool. She asked him to go with them, and he's like, I'm kind of busy, which is fucked. And then at the end, he like makes time for it.
He's like, I brought snacks.
Look how like infinitely better this is colored.
I know. But what I really like about it is that the design feels like John Romita Sr.-esque, like the pose of it and him just like running on the building. Like,
yeah,
I saw this and I was like, yes, this is my jazz.
Yeah, I was like, let's go, dude.
But even like the coloring of where there's like front coloring and stuff, it feels just really nice. So,
yeah, no.
I like this a lot. Super also, well just done. Like a lot of the action feels like there's a lot of movement. Like in this car chase, we see like the lights sort of bleed in like a certain direction to show movement. And
I like when he's just like standing on this moving vehicle.
I love that because it's just like it'd be so funny to see this in a movie.
Yeah.
Or even like this first panel you just showed, like seeing that in a movie where he's like running.
I love when he like stands on the side of a building too.
Yeah. They did that in Spider-Verse. I remember there's a scene where they're like walking up and I'm like, this is fun. So but seeing that in, I think, like a Spider-Man movie, like live action, look a little bit funky, I think. But
oh, there was like a fourth wall break.
There was?
Yeah. When Spider-Man's asking the dude, like, whose car is this? And he's like, Blair. And then it's like asterisks and like different text to blur out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Remington.
Yeah.
And he's like, who's Blair Remington? Why does she have a middle name that have to be censored for children? You know?
Yeah. Like the middle name is all censored.
Yeah. And so it's like, that's funny.
That's good. And there's in Doctor Strange's place, we see Bats, who's his ghost dog. Are you familiar with Bats?
No clue.
He's a character that was created by Donny Cates during his Doctor Strange run. And so I like seeing him pop up and stuff. He was also, there's a new map in Marvel Rivals and Bats is in there too.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
So when Spider-Man's in this car with what's his name and they go into an alley, Spider-Man like thrifts like on a higher building and pulls the entire car and himself up.
Like 90 degrees from the ground straight up.
Straight up. And then like webs like are all around to like catch the car.
They had it like that.
Yeah. I'm like, God damn.
That is strong. The webs and Spider-Man and the chassis of this car.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like what part of his body is like pulling up the car.
He probably just like has his head down against his neck or something. But like this car would be fucked up from that. Like it would be huge dents just on the inside of it. So then issue 6 was kind of like a backup issue in and of itself. But Spider-Man and his new sidekick Spider-Bite fight some classic Spider-Man villains like Doc Ock and Vulture. who are trying to keep like some sort of glowing box away from Spider-Man. They uncover a plan that leads them to not the Sinister Six, but the Sinister 60, where they fight pretty much all of the Spider-Man Rogues Gallery, and they're able to beat them and reveal that inside of the glowing box was a Spider-Man action figure. But the whole issue is actually just kind of like a fantasy sort of play along. And Spider-Bite is actually a kid named Nathan with cancer that Spider-Man was playing with. And Spider-Man decides to keep the day going with him by taking him out for a swing around the city, which is pretty nice.
And the people in the hospital were dressed up as the villains and whatnot.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
That was well done.
It's funny that 2 weeks in a row, there's a random character named Nathan that's in like one issue.
What was last week's?
Astounding Wolfman. There's a guy named Nathan that the wife of Wolfman was cheating on.
Oh, yeah.
Or like going to dinner with some dude named Nathan. And I'm like, that's 2 weeks in a row.
There's a crazy double page spread in this.
Oh, yeah. The action double page spread.
I was looking at every single panel. Me too. And then like Sarah looked over. She's like, that's crazy. I'm like, yes, it is.
It is. It's so cool. It feels like Ryan Otley when he would do like crazy action pages, except he would like overlay like one big like action pose over all of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is really cool. It's really fun to follow because there's all sorts of Spider-Man villains here. I have questions about the Sinister 60 because there's some villains in here where I'm like, why is Juggernaut here? Juggernaut's in the back there.
Oh, Jack-O-Lantern's there too.
Jack-O-Lantern makes sense because that's a Spider-Man rogue.
And then you got Mephisto. Like
Mephisto. Kingpin's just kind of standing in the back.
Mr. Negative or whatever.
But like, what is Kingpin doing?
It's just like they needed more people.
Yeah. And like, it was just fun like looking at all these because there's some
Hammerheads back there, dude.
Or they have like Tombstone, which is like that gray gangster dude, or like,
oh, Boomerang's there,
dude. Scream is here. The symbiote is like all the way in the back there. But yeah, this is pretty fun. I like that the whole thing is orchestrated by Stiltman in this fantasy. Like, I guess maybe Nathan really enjoys Stiltman in this.
Stiltman's cool.
Yeah, but you know, I love a good Stiltman appearance. But the whole thing, you know, pretty touching. So I enjoy seeing this part of Spider-Man 2 where he's like helping out some random people in the community.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much it. So let's go into our next section, which is Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Pretty tiny Back Matter.
Ooh, Brian Hitch cover, dude.
We get a Brian Hitch cover, which is pretty cool.
Banger.
You don't really see him drawing anybody outside of Batman a whole lot. So it's kind of cool seeing him on Spider-Man.
What's he doing now? Is he doing the...
He was on Venom and then now... I don't know what he's on. So I don't know what he's doing now. And then there's a Marvel Meow variant, which is like a 9-panel square grid sort of thing. Which is
that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I like that. But that's pretty much it. Small Back Matter this week.
Wow.
Two covers.
Tiny.
So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
Oh, shit. I always forget to think about this.
What's something that makes you feel like home?
I'd say like a New York hot dog cart hot dog. Just a bit of mustard, bit of relish. You know, you're on the run, you're eating it.
Yeah.
On the way to wherever you're going.
I like that. Do you know what a knish is?
A knish?
Yeah.
Isn't it something that's hard on the outside and soft on the inside?
I think so.
Why?
They ordered it. Somebody ordered it in the Daredevil show, like in one of the last couple of, it was at like a hot dog stand, but the guy was like ordering a knish.
Maybe it's like a kosher hot dog.
It might be. But yeah, I think probably hot dog stand's the best way to rate this.
Because they get hot dogs in like the second issue, I think, or the first issue, I think.
First issue, yeah. So
knish. That makes sense. Or knish? K-N-I-S-H.
I think it's spelled like Nish, like the K would be signed.
Jewish silent. Dish, potato filled dumplings, baked or fried.
Mm.
So,
yeah, it was ordered by Ellison, who's like the newspaper editor guy.
Ben?
This is the guy that was Ben Urich's boss.
Oh.
He was like kind of bald.
Gotcha.
So it's probably pretty good.
There's so many like dishes that are just some sort of like carb, but with potatoes in it.
Yeah.
You know, like a bread or something.
Mm-hmm. And just fried.
Yeah. There's this shit that like Sarah's family likes to get. Pierogies. They love pierogies. And it's basically like it's almost like a pasta kind of thing with like potatoes in it.
Mm. That's cool.
It kind of looks like a dumpling almost.
Potatoes in the pasta?
Yeah, it's like potatoes, and there'll be like sauerkraut or something in it, or like onions. You can get them with meat and stuff, but like I think the main thing is just like potatoes.
That sounds crazy.
It's really good, but it's just like, it's just all carb, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we love carbs.
Yeah, I love them.
So let's go into our next segment, the poll list, colon.
Show me your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What'd you get this week, Daniel?
So I went to the shop on Monday, and they had Wednesday stuff like in my box already. Whoa. So I don't know if they were supposed to, but only some of Wednesday stuff.
Yeah, because I think they get it from different distributors typically. So.
Right. And so like you have Batman and Robin 4. Year One number 4, which comes out today.
We picked this up on Monday?
Right. No, that was last week.
That was last week? Okay.
But I have to go back to get New Gods 2 and The Moon Is Falling was 5.
That's on 5?
Yeah. I think it's 7 total.
Damn.
There's also Ultimate Wolverine coming out today.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I'm getting that.
Cool.
Just to give it a gander.
Yeah. I think that would probably be worth taking a look at. Probably just The Moon Is Following Us and New Gods.
Okay. Cool.
You kept up with your New Year's resolution of reading one comic every day.
I sure have.
On average.
You know, I did the math. If we do a trade every day or trade every week, that's roughly 5 issues.
I mean, not the last couple of weeks, dude. It's been like 6 or 7.
Yeah, I know. We're doing extra.
Yeah.
And then we do like one issue every day. We're basically reading like 600 issues like a year.
That's so many.
Yeah.
So. And what's funny is that I still won't be caught up on all my comics.
That's like one short box.
Yeah. I'm like, oh man, I'm making some progress.
But yeah, a couple more years, I'll be there.
It does feel good though, reading the stuff I've already purchased. And I'm like, damn, this is good.
Be like, wow, I've been just sitting on this thing.
So
no shot I'm going to keep up with this once like the kid's here, but
it's tough.
It's tough, like, with no kid.
It's tough with no kid. Yeah, I agree.
But I finished the first arc of Ultimate X-Men, number 5 and 6, I read.
Ooh, okay, nice.
I read New Gods, number 1. Did you read that?
I still don't have it.
Oh, right.
It's at Mom's. Is it good?
It's exactly what I wanted it to be.
That's so good.
Which is a good thing.
That's like, yeah, it sounds like a great review.
Yep. So, you know, definitely get that.
Yeah,
Batman and Robin Year 1, number 2. I was really tired when I read it, so I don't really remember what happened. And I fell asleep reading 3, but...
Nice.
I read Public Domain, number 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've read that before, but I reread it.
It's good to
understand what was going on.
Yeah.
I remember number 1, like, perfectly, but number 2, just kind of see where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Good book. And then The Moon Is Following Us, number 3 and 4.
I've not read those yet. I might need to borrow them from you unless they're in that big box, but
I think they're in the bag. I got you.
Okay. I'll have to go like tomorrow or something, but I read TMNT number 3 and 4. So it's the rest of the single issue.
I haven't read 4.
Oh, okay. It's awesome.
4? Just talking about 3 since I've read it.
That one's the best one.
3? I thought you'd like that
Cliff Chang is so fucking good.
He's very good.
He does the colors on that shit too, and it's amazing. Does he do the colors on everything he does?
No.
Does he? No, because Matt Wilson did Paper Girls, right?
I think so.
It feels like that level.
Yeah, Matt Wilson's goated.
Yeah. But like Cliff Chang does the art and the colors on it, and it's just so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
The third issue of TMNT is funny because at the beginning, he's like putting turtles in a fire.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you doing that? why are you hurting those turtles? But they were like already dead, so he's cremating them.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that at first. And so I'm like, why are you killing those turtles?
Little fake out for you.
Yeah, it was a good fake out. But yeah, just the turtles look so good in that, and he's fighting like the hand and shit.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And then the fourth one's Chris Burnham, who's the guy that did the last...
Oh, Doom Patrol?
Doom Patrol, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And he's really good in this, but especially because like the...
Robot Man shows up.
No Robot Man. but sorry, who is it? It's not Donatello.
Donatello?
Who's the purple one? Leonardo?
Donatello. Leonardo's blue.
Leonardo's blue. Okay, yeah. I get them mixed up. But of course him and he's like clearly mentally affected by whatever's happening in this book. And he looks insane and is awesome in Chris Burnham's art.
Okay.
So I really, really do enjoy that one too.
I think, does the inking kind of stand out to make it look like Chris Burnham art?
Yeah. I think so.
I feel like there are a lot of thick lines in his Doom Patrol.
There's a lot of thick lines in this.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, so it's cool. It definitely feels like the most stylized issue, I would say.
Yeah, because it almost feels like you try and stick to the kind of house style vibe. kind of thing, you know, and not necessarily like your style.
Yeah.
So I'd be looking forward to
it's cool
how that is.
Because he's like kind of skinny in this. And so it's kind of gross to look at even sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I like it a lot.
Sweet.
And I read Two-Face number one.
Oh, yeah.
The Christian Ward run that's kind of somewhat, I think, continuing. Whereas Batman City of Madness left off. I didn't finish that. But it's cool. This is like the first ever Two-Face series, I guess. But
yeah.
He's kind of like he's kind of being a lawyer for the criminals. So to try and keep some of the order from all the criminals and stopping gang wars, he's being a lawyer for like a criminal court.
Yeah.
And this first one is Victor Zsasz is on the stand. What did I say?
Zsasz or something?
Yeah, Mr. Zsasz is taking the stand or whatever.
I read that before I gave it to you. And I don't really like how Zsasz was drawn. It seemed like he had little scratches on him rather than scars, you know?
They could be a little grosser, I think.
But do you want two of that?
I think I have two of that, don't I?
No.
I think you said that you got me two.
Oh.
But yeah, I'll check it out. I think it's a strong first issue, but I could see it not being as strong, so I don't know.
Okay.
So we'll see. I read Plastic Man No More, number 3. Pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's still a pretty fun series. Really gross at points. It shows Plastic Man is like a pretty fucked up guy, but kind of has good intentions, so I like it. And then the last things I read was Ultimate X-Men, number 6 and 7. So I guess I'm only like one ahead of you.
I'm catching up.
Yeah, you are. And it's great. I'm like, why did I stop reading this?
Yeah.
I have the issues, but I was like falling behind. But yeah, it's so good. Peach Momoko is just the GOAT. Got nothing else to say about that.
Definitely.
You start to learn more about what is going on, and I like that. I'm just now finding out because the whole series has been kind of confusing up to this point, but yeah. It's really coming together. So I appreciate that.
That's good. I feel like it would just kind of just giving you like little teaspoons at a time of like what's going on.
So yeah. Did you read anything else?
Nope. Did you watch anything?
I finished Daredevil with Sophie. We were rewatching it. So we finished season 3 and that was a good show, man. It's good to rewatch. I think it's good and bad to rewatch because there's parts of the show that I remember liking that I didn't like as much the second watch, but things that I didn't pick up on the first watch I did in the second watch. So I ended up liking season 1 a lot more than I remember because it was just like a lot of building up like the different crime organizations. I didn't really understand how they all worked.
Yeah.
And then they would eventually like fall under Kingpin, but I really liked rewatching it this time around and seeing how smart Kingpin is and stuff like that. And then the like Agent Nadim character in season 3 is like the FBI agent that is like getting manipulated. It's like the Indian dude.
Don't remember at all.
He's great. You remember him if you saw a picture. What'd you watch?
I didn't watch shit this weekend.
No.
I watched like a few things, but like I was mostly doing construction, you know?
Yeah.
Or fucking
doing some remodeling. Housework.
Yeah, dude. Painting and ripping out floors and shit.
Pretty manly stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Don't have time for comics.
Yeah, moving stuff. Moving fridges.
You had to move your fridge?
I had to move the deep freezer.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
And it took like a minute, so.
Yeah, because you're so manly.
Yeah, but my body remembered. And I was pulling out baseboards and let Dad do that.
Okay, yeah. He's watched all the YouTube videos already.
Dude, he came fucking prepared. Like he had like a notepad and pencils.
No way.
And they brought a pencil sharpener in case he gotta use more pencel. It's so fucking funny.
Guys love like, to use their tools.
What is all this shit? We didn't use like any of it.
Guys just love to use their tools, man.
He's prepared.
That's funny.
He bought some knee pads so he could like, you know, do shit on his knees or whatever.
Yeah, he's a smart worker too.
Yeah, dude.
That's good.
But I did watch it was kind of like a show we put on so we could read with shit in the background, you know?
Yeah.
And we put the Jerry Springer documentary on from Netflix. Jerry Springer?
He sounds familiar.
He had like that talk show where like he'd bring on like crazy ass people and then they just end up fighting.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The documentary is called Fights, Camera, Action.
That's a good name.
Yeah. Pretty fucking crazy, honestly.
Were you distracted from your books?
A little bit. I had to like really force myself to focus on like the books, like the words I was reading.
Yeah.
It's mostly just kind of talk because he died like last year. And so it was mostly just like his producers talking, and they would find like the crazy people to come on the show. And then they're just talking about like the ebbs and flows. What a job. Yeah.
Finding crazy people.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. There's only like 2 episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then why not just, how long was the entirety of it?
I guess like 2 hours.
Why not just make a 2-hour documentary?
I don't know.
How strange.
Well, there's like a cliffhanger in the middle.
So that's crazy.
That's called the climax.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's funny. Is that anime that you showed me and Sophie, did that come out already?
Sakamoto Days. Yeah, it came out on Saturday.
Okay, so that's out. I plan on watching that.
The first episode. I started watching it, but then Sarah came home and was upset. And so...
Got it.
I was like, no time for anime.
Yeah, no anime time.
Yeah. Did you finish Creature Commandos?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was crazy. I did that, watched it like before you got here.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that was crazy.
This show upsets me a lot.
Why?
Yeah, it just upsets me.
Yeah, I mean, I was like...
Because like what happens at the end, and you know, like, I'm like, well, that fucking sucks, you know?
Yeah, it does. It like hurts the most because I was like kind of most excited to see what they did with like Nina Mazursky. Mazursky?
Now that you said the wrong thing, it like the right thing is out of my mind.
Mazursky. Yeah. Mazursky. Yeah. I said it right the first time.
I don't think you did.
I did.
I think you had like a letter off.
Roll the tapes. Run it back, editor.
I'll type out like what you said.
And then, here that I had it right.
And then I'll correct it when you say it correctly.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. But yeah, I was excited to see what like her backstory was gonna end up being because we read like a little bit about her in our Agents of Shade, like the Frankenstein one.
Yeah.
And I ended up liking her origin in there too.
Yeah, they changed. But this one was origin.
Way more tragic.
Definitely.
And like
kind of like traumatic.
Yeah, like not necessarily like because she was brutal, like
she was trying to make, she was trying to help monsters or something in like the comic, and yeah, then
which is cool,
she became one somehow.
She like tested on herself, you know. Yeah, that typical scientist thing. But this, like, she didn't have a choice. Her like lungs were outside of her as a
baby.
It was
like to save her. Yeah, it was crazy.
And so yeah, I so it like her origin isn't as brutal as like Phosphorus's or anything, but it's definitely traumatic. And then to see like her, I guess spoilers for this, but to see her like die at the end, and I was like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah,
like, that was my I said that like 4 times. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then, like in the episode where we get the origin and stuff and start like appreciating her more, yeah, she's gone.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know,
I'm like, she was so nice, she's trying to be, she didn't even want to kill that person, you know.
Yeah, like at least with like the redeeming thing is that GI Robot's back.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't like that he's bigger, but like
I like that he's bigger.
It's like fun, but maybe just like momentarily. But maybe I'll have different bodies or something.
That'd be cool too.
But I'm like, I know you can rebuild GI Robot, but I don't know. I don't know if you can save her. You know?
Probably not. One thing I thought was a little bit weird is that the 2 Frankensteins finally like meet again for the first time, and then she just kind of like shoots him in the head and then like leaves.
She just unloads on him. Yeah. It's so funny.
And she's not surprised that he's there or anything. She's just like, oh, and like pop, pop, and then like that's it.
I don't know what you expected.
Well, like we're kind of learning more about this character. She's
been swerving him like their entire lives.
I know that they have been, but there's a lot of effort put into learning who Frankenstein is and the bride, and then like what their past is like.
It's just a C plot thing, you know, that
it felt like more in a C plot thing to me. I don't know. I'm not like upset by it. I think it's actually kind of funny that that's like,
did you want him to like join the team?
No, I just thought there was going to be more. And so I was surprised when there wasn't, but I don't think it's bad. I like that they just did like a, like, oh fuck, he's here kind of deal. And then just like leaves.
Also at the end, they had that like Pharaoh guy and then like the vampire dude.
Oh yeah,
at the end. And King Shark. Yeah. Yeah, of course they find a way to bring his ass in.
Is that Sylvester Stallone?
No way.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah, so I think that's cool that, you know, he's back.
He in the movie it sounded like him, you know.
Yeah, it did. That's true. But yeah, I thought it was fun. I liked this more than I thought I was going to, you know.
Yeah, the story arc ended up like kind of paying off for me because I didn't really like how is everything is in that country or whatever.
Yeah. But I like that there was a twist and then like a double twist. I think that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it just like unraveled itself really well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, good show.
I hope we see more Rick Flag Sr. I think he's kind of a fun character.
Yeah.
So pretty fun. Good start to the new DC universe.
So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a need for a season two.
Oh, cool.
And it's like that meme where it's like Obama putting a medal on Obama.
James Gunn renewed
this. Yeah. He renewed it.
Head of DC Studios renews his own show.
Yeah.
Is he going to do all the stuff for it again?
Like write and direct it or whatever?
Yeah.
Or
I don't think he directed
it. I think he just wrote it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be like
he'll probably partner with
somebody. Maybe write it and then maybe like, or just, if someone else writes it, he like approves it or whatnot.
Maybe he just produces.
I think he's going to kind of step back after Superman. Yeah. He's not going to like just direct everything.
Which is smart.
Yeah, that he should definitely, you know, produce everything. And then maybe he comes back on for like a World's Finest kind of thing. Or
that'd be sweet.
Or whatever the Batman thing is.
Yeah, because I don't think he's done directing. But yeah, I think for after Superman, he'll take a little bit of a break to make sure the ship's going to course or whatever. And then
yeah,
figure it out. But do you think he'll ever do like a non like DC or like comic book movie
again? I can't imagine. Well, yeah.
I'm sure he will at some point, but
I think it'll definitely come to a point where it's he is doing like the Kevin Feige thing where it's like relatively hands off, I guess. Yeah. Once like it kind of he establishes the tone.
Yeah, and they have like the overall story arc or whatever they're trying to do.
Yeah.
If they're even doing that.
I don't know if he necessarily has like a like more horror stuff or if he wants to do a Scooby-Doo 3 or whatever.
That would be awesome.
That'd be dope.
But yeah, I don't think he would do that. And then apparently Shaggy was somewhere in Creature Commandos. Did you see that?
No.
He was like in the background of one of the episodes. Mm. So that was pretty fun.
Okay. So
we went through it. And now I'll probably watch that anime. And then Arcane is what we're starting.
Hey, then what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
Do we have anything lined up?
Nathan, we reviewed some of the greats,
okay,
of all time, and now
some of the worst of all time.
It's time to review another great. We have Dog Man.
Oh my god!
From the creator of Captain Underpants.
Yeah, because he's got the Dog Man movie.
The Dog Man movie coming.
Kevin Hart's in this one too, I think.
I got the one that says now a major motion picture.
Oh, I love when they do that, and it's not an actual sticker. How many pages is that? I mean, it's not like it's like a kid's book, like but
200 or something.
That was a lot. Dan Pilkey.
Yeah.
I never read this neither initially. But these are definitely comics.
Dude, they move units.
Dan moves units, dude.
That Scholastic distribution is the way to go.
Yeah, that's where fucking Marvel should go, Scholastic.
So, Nathan, on Kindle, Watchmen has about like 10,000 reviews.
Okay.
How many do you think Dogman has?
It's probably more than Watchmen.
Take a gander.
Okay. I'm going to say like 16,500.
Close. 23,000.
Holy shit.
And they're all 5 stars.
Dude, Watchmen's a top 10 graphic novel of all time, according to Time.
Yeah. Time doesn't know shit.
Time doesn't know game like Dan Pilkey.
They don't know about Dog Man.
They don't know about the dog. That's crazy. Who's reviewing this? Like kids? Parents?
You think? They're like, my kid fucking loved this. And then they probably bought like the other 12 or whatever.
Dude, reading. Are they like Amazon reviews?
Yeah.
Like Kindle reviews? Kindle ones,
yeah.
I read a couple of those like this last week and they're so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll just be like, loved this book. This is like the title. And then the description is, loved this book. I like the art. And then that's it. 5 stars. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, fuck yeah.
So we're sitting on a gem right now.
Yeah, I guess so. This is probably our most reviewed book that we'll review.
I really was digging to find something else that had more. Nothing comes close.
That's awesome. Okay, so is this just Dogman Volume 1 or like how does this work? I think they just have different stories, right? So I guess.
Yeah, I think it's like kind of ongoing. It should be on.
Does it have like a subtitle?
No, it's just the Volume 1. Should be on Comixology, I think.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, it is time, Nathan.
Everyone's been asking.
This is like one of those things that always would pop up on Comixology, you know? I'm like, one day, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever read Captain Underpants?
Yeah.
I did too. I liked it. I
read a couple of them, I think.
I liked them.
They kind of fell in quality. I feel like I barely remember that. So I could be wrong even.
Yeah.
Because it's been it's a weird probably, con- it's probably been like 20 years since I read those, but
a weird concept in retrospect as well.
Yeah.
Different time for sure.
Now. Have you seen the trailer for Dogman?
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Pete Davidson's the cat in this in the movie, and Kevin Hart's in there.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in Captain Underpants too, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's the same like animation studio kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah. Good for Dan. He's probably made
Dave.
Dave. Dav?
Dav?
Dav? Good for him.
I'll look it up.
All right, Dogman. That's a good pick.
Sarah's like, that looks kind of creepy. I'm like, what do you mean?
Surgery, I think, to have a dog's head on him.
Yeah. I'm like,
nothing creepy about that.
This is what old Junior is going to be reading soon. But
you just want books to read to your kid.
Low key.
You're going to be making read a bunch of kids' books.
Maybe.
And Watchmen. Yeah. When are you going to read Watchmen to your kid?
As soon as he can read.
You know? You're going to be like, in this scene, fucking Owlman has erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, this is Ozymandias.
Yeah.
And was he right? This is the quiz.
Yeah. Quiz after the book.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Tune in next week for Dogman. Link tree in our bio. Like, comment, subscribe. Leave a good old 5-star review on Spotify and stuff. Have you read Dogman?
What's your favorite Dogman?
Email in at trailblazerspot@gmail.com.
What's your favorite Spider-Man? Have we read it yet? Probably not. We've read some weird Spider-Man,
I think. We've read like 2 Spider-Man books, I think. Or no, I was looking at something else. We only read like 2 Daredevil books.
Yeah. We should probably get the new Daredevil season is coming out.
Yeah, that's coming up. So
we'll do another one. All right.
Let us know which one to read.
Yes.
At cherishpod@gmail.com.
All right.
And goodbye.
Peace.